You are listening to the HeFluence Podcast, and we're having candid and actionable conversations about your health, relationships, business, and ministry. And now here's your host, the Second Chance Coach for Men, Michael David Huey.
Guys, welcome to another session of the HeFluence Podcast. My name is Michael David Huey. I'm the founder and CEO of HeFluence. And I don't know if you can always get excited, but every day should be a day when you get excited. When you watch someone grow from one place to another, you watch them walk into a new phase and a new journey in their life. And so if you've been listening to the first five or six episodes, I've been doing at least two or three a week and uploading them every week to iTunes and Anchor and Spotify. And they just, the fruit of them have been incredible. And so today, as I was praying before we jumped on, the expectation is the same today, because today's guest, I've actually got to watch him go from figuring out his business to what it was going to be, not really knowing what it was going to be, kind of having an idea of what it was going to be, to expounding and exploding his, not only his wisdom and knowledge about what God had called him to do, but the influence and impact that it's had on people's lives. I'm some of that fruit. I've watched and grown and implemented things that he's taught and done. And I'm more excited for him because he's about to embark in a journey of becoming a husband. Here, I believe in about a month, him and Morgan are going to get married. And that's going to be an awesome day. Like I have goosebumps when I'm sitting here thinking about it, because we invited God into this call today. And I believe that Jimmy has invited God into his heart, into his marriage, and into the walk. And before I introduce him and let him tell a story, for those of you that have been listening to the HeFluence Podcast here at if those of you are watching or you're listening online and you can't see Jimmy and I, we do recordings live for video and for recording. And I have a shirt on from my friend Eric Thomas from 2019 that says execute, 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 execution. And he actually gave this to me in the middle of 2019. And I just use it for my goals for 2020, because that's one of the things that I think as we go through this decade, this 2020 vision. I have some really cool glasses on today that Alex Tarfin told me about that are helped me kind of with my vision actually, but helped me kind of biohack. And for those of you that know me, I'm a big biohacker. Like I when I look at myself on this camera today and can't believe that I'm be 52 years old this year, and I feel 30, and I kind of have an admiration for people that really do what Jimmy has done. They see the vision, they see the purpose, and they surround themselves around people who can help them grow into that. And I wanted to share something actually. I pray and then I let God kind of guide me in what I share before, but I'm going to have Jimmy introduce himself, his story and how that, and I remember it's really funny. I came across a couple of these pictures. Jimmy and I went to a mastermind in Utah last year, and we had the privilege of the day before to spend some time together to encourage each other, to actually pray together a couple times. We went for a walk and discussed like what the future was going to be like. I pushed him in the direction, I hope, of kind of seeing that, you know, marriage is a good thing, and that when you've been with somebody for a long time, it's cool to just step in. And I shared with him that my wife did that with me. Like she said, hey, look, we've been together for enough time now, right? And it's time to get married. And so she kind of gave me an ultimatum. And how many of you listening today can think of an instance or a time in your life when God said, now's the time? Like, now I'm gonna give you. And so my friend Jimmy is actually, he is the CEO, but he's the CGO of Grow and Give, and that's the Chief Giving Officer. And what I really like about Jimmy is he wrote him a vision statement. It's pretty long, but I'm just gonna share a couple things that really encouraged me as I read it the last 2 days. He mapped out his vision and his purpose. And I was actually sharing with a friend of mine who I had on my podcast last week, my friend Jesse Dale, who owns a company called Macro Missionary. And him and I were talking about how God says that people perish for a lack of knowledge and a lack of vision. So what does that mean? That means that without vision and knowledge, people perish. We can go to college and we can graduate and we can have a business, but unless we keep the focus on the one who gave us these things, then we go through life kind of just trying to figure it out on our own. And I actually, on this walk, I shared with Jimmy, I said, hey, look, I went through one of the biggest trying times of my life in 2019. And then now God has radically turned that around in 2020. And that's because I took my vision off of my circumstance and I divorced the outcome and I married the process. And now I've kind of at 52, I've stepped into being, I said this, it was really funny that people have said this to me a lot lately. They've said, Mike, do you understand that your better days of your life are ahead of you? And when I read Jimmy's mission statement for 2020, I don't know if you can read it, but if you go to LinkedIn and you read Jimmy's mission statement, there's no way that you can't see that. You're still in your 20s, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm 20. I turned 26 last week.
That's what I thought. 26. Yeah. That's what I thought. And at 26, he's now stepping into a whole new phase of his life. And I just want to share just a couple of things, and I'm going to let him share his story with you. But he, one of the things that I like is he said, I want to be able to afford time and money to take Morgan places that she deserves. I want her to feel loved and cherished. I want to be able to give her gifts. You know, I always say this, if you don't know your wife's love language, you need to figure that out. If you're in a relationship, you need to figure out what that is and focus on it. And he said, every day I can tell Morgan a story of how I've changed somebody's life. He said, I never want to have less than 6 months worth of expenses. If you haven't listened to my podcast from Jim Baker from about 3 weeks ago on biblical stewardship, you should go back and listen to that call. He said, I want to have made 1,000 people $100,000. Well, I'm going to raise my hand and say that as we've been really growing, I want to be one of those people that connects with people like Jimmy. And so he said he wants to a proof of a big brother, big sisters, and how he can do this stuff. And then he said this, he said, at the very end, he said, I want to be proud of myself. I want to love myself. And I am who God created me to be. And I think if I'm an emotional guy, so that kind of got me in some tears this morning when I was reading it. And I just want to say, I'm grateful for him. I'm excited for him. I've just been watching him and praying for him from a distance and praying for areas that I think that you're going to see fruit from in his life. How many of you listening today know that it's important to have people praying for you? Not everybody, because there's certain people that we do not want praying for us, right? But there's people that we want praying for us. And we were talking about this last night at Bible study. One day we're going to be in heaven and we're going to meet people that were praying for us. And the things that's the fruit that came from that. And imagine those days. Imagine those experiences. Like my grandmother, right? Like praying for me constantly and constantly pushing me to be who I am today. So welcome to the HeFluence podcast today, my friend Jimmy Coleman. Jimmy, thanks for being on, brother.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael.
Yeah, brother. It's exciting to watch your growth and watch the things that you're doing. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, like who you are? He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. I know that. And like I said, he's getting ready to get married. So why don't you share a little bit your story and how Grow and Give came about and what that journey looked like and kind of where you are now in your direction going. And I always share kind of a little outline with people. And what usually happens is during their storytelling, they kind of answer the first two questions about their faith and where they are. And I think probably me just telling you a little bit, and I apologize ahead of time, I like to really make people feel welcomed and that people can really know what to expect from the call. So Jimmy, share us your story, brother.
Sure thing. So the best place to start would probably be when in 2012, I picked up a job over the summer selling Cutco knives. And, you know, start hitting up all my friends' moms to schedule appointments with them. And
I have Cutco knives. I love my Cutco knives, yeah. Just to say.
Heck yeah. Yeah. And the reason that was significant is because I went through school. I was a likable person. People liked me, but I wasn't, who I was wasn't a very celebrated thing to the fact that most people would have figured that I wasn't a very intelligent person, based on the system that I was in. And I kind of bought into that. And then graduated high school, picked up this job, and there's a bunch of other students in there, people my age. Actually, the guy who's a valedictorian of our high school was one of the people that was in training with me. And within a couple of weeks, I was just kicking everyone's butt. And then a month later, like really crushing it and getting recognized on stage. And this is not in the school classroom anymore. This is in more of the real world. And I'm beating people who were supposed to be way smarter than me and supposed to be absolutely crushing me at life. And that wasn't happening. I was kind of crushing them. And I started getting recognized on a more national level. And then school started. And kind of funny is, went back into school, started getting talked at for hours at a time. Back in a desk, we were learning about random things like the history of baseball. It used to be called Rounders. It started in Ireland. And all this random things, like the level of energy I had from actually like working on something that was in line with my goals to then just being sat back down in the desk. Like when I was working, I got to a place where I was forgetting to eat. And that sounds like a horrible thing. Obviously, like we'll get into like how health factors in, but it is also something to envy, having so much passion about something to the point where you're like, you forgot that you were supposed to eat. And that's like, it was a fun thing. So now I have automated my life where that's not really an issue anymore. But it's kind of like waking up Christmas morning every single day with that level of energy, right? And so I 2 weeks into college, dropped out made mom and dad proud, told them I was selling knives instead of going to college, and became one of the top became one of the top managers in the company. I had one of the top performing offices. It's a huge, they recruit more college age students than any company in the country besides the Army. So really competitive, and we did really well. After being in that industry for a few years, that company for a few years, went into the financial industry because I figured I can make more money selling financial services than kitchen utensils. And I struggled a lot at first because at this cutlery company, you learn how to do guerrilla marketing. First off, with like hitting up your mom's friends, not caring about if you hurt someone's feelings if someone says no. But then also like once you become a manager and you build a team, like getting kicked off college campuses for passing out tens of thousands of flyers, putting posters in bathrooms and all that stuff, and just really learning just to be a savage marketer. And then taking that to the financial industry, people didn't really trust this young, desperate marketer to handle their finances. So I had to turn the marketing into less of just a numbers game into more of an art form. And I jumped on LinkedIn because I really enjoyed working with a lot of C-level executives, entrepreneurs, and even top performing salespeople, just because we spoke the same language. But there just wasn't a lot to go around where I'm from in Waynesboro, Virginia. So I hopped on LinkedIn to find these people, made a lot of the mistakes that you guys, if you guys do have a LinkedIn account, that a lot of people are making nowadays, which is just spamming people. And I learned my lesson that wasn't really working. I eventually developed a process that actually got my target market to start sending me messages on a daily basis. And I started getting calls lined up as a 21-year-old from Waynesboro, Virginia, with a bunch of multimillionaires. Not that I knew what to do with them when I got in front of them, but I at least knew how to get the meeting with these people. And
got him in, right?
It off too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Found an older guy with gray hair to help me out once I got him in. So there was a startup company out of North Carolina who they asked me to help grow their startup. They were at $60 million, and they did that within a couple of years. And then I joined within 2 years. We got it to $120 million. And not all of it, but a chunk of that business came from the LinkedIn strategy. And people started asking me how we were getting these kind of results from a social media platform like LinkedIn. And started sharing the strategies with people, and they said it was way better than the advice that they had already paid someone a lot of money to help them with. And so I told them, I decided to start a consulting company. I was a partner in that medical company, left all the equity I had on the table, started my own business, didn't have a thing to sell. I launched a course eventually, started teaching people. And now we're at a place where we're not really even teaching people anymore. And we're just doing the work for them. So we have some really cool clients, from people like Billie Jean to TikTok, and some other really big companies who aren't really quite as cool as those big names, but who are doing some pretty big things and getting some really, really fun results. And my last point is the name Grow and Give came about because when we started the company, I knew that I was really good at helping companies with their marketing. But at the same time, like, who cares if I'm like 100 years from now, whether I'm filling someone's sales pipeline? And we can make a case for how that matters. But I wanted it to be more of a direct case, right? So I looked at like who else would benefit from this. And what we decided last year, for every course that we sell, every client we gain, we donate a course to someone who's, you know, coming out of prison and who wants to become an entrepreneur. Just that one thing alone makes such a huge ripple effect, right? Like, that there's a system of people who are coming out of prison, can't find a job because they're in prison. So they go back to doing the thing that got them in prison. And, you know, kids grow up without fathers, which is one of the worst things that could possibly happen to a child. And you know, extends poverty for generations. It's just horrible ripple effect. So if we can help that one market, we knew we can make a big difference. And I think in many ways, entrepreneurship is the answer. So if we can help them grow their businesses, then that's a huge splash we can make with this cool gift that God gave us. So, now we're changing the model from courses to more done for you services. But that's a big part of who we are, and constantly finding ways that we can, ask that question of how can we use this gift we have to make an even bigger impact.
That's awesome. And just so you know, I want to preface a couple of things. I'm wearing a hat today. Actually, if you're listening on the podcast, just the listen version, or you're not, or you're watching the video version. I'm a big hat fan. As you get older, I think Jimmy's a big hat fan. He likes hats. And when I think of the hat I have on today, it's my friend Cole Hatter's event and company called Thrive Make Money Matter. And you just heard from a millennial in his 20s that is making money matter. He's not just getting in and growing and forgetting about the small people. He's actually doing it to make a lasting impact. And I would just say this without him saying it. I think that when you, the greatest servant of all time was Jesus. And when you look at that model of what he did, even on the very day when he was about to be hung on a cross, he took a towel and a basin of water and he washed the feet of his disciples. And you just heard Jimmy. It's funny you bring this up, Jimmy, because several years ago, with Steve Smith, who played for the Carolina Panthers for many years, mm-hmm. one of the greatest receivers probably in the history of football, but definitely for the Carolina Panthers. I did a feet washing event with him, and then he gave all of the people coming out of the jails and some that were still homeless a pair of shoes. So he washed their feet, put a pair of shoes on them. And so I don't know about you, man, but that was one of the most humbling things I ever do. So why don't you talk about your faith a little bit? You want to comment on that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Was that through Samaritan's Feet, that event?
Yes. Yes.
So Manny Ahome, he runs Samaritan. He's a good friend. That's all based out of Charlotte. Steve Smith, actually, I used to work at a Lifetime. He worked out, like, you know, from me to that wall, like workout right next to each other. But him and Manny are really good friends. And I'm really good friends with Manny. That's really funny that you're in Florida and you're talking about it. So I'll have to tell Manny about that.
Yeah, you have to do that. It was awesome. It was awesome. So why don't you share some of the things about your faith and how that's encouraged you and strengthened you, and just some of the things like I was talking about earlier. And I did want to say this, that the company that Jimmy started with, Cutco, has been around for like 50 or 60, probably longer than that, 70 years or something. And my mom, they have a lifetime warranty. They're the best knives you can ever buy. It doesn't matter how much you pay for them. Like, my mom had a pair for 35 years, and then she sent them back to the company, and they sent her a brand new set that she had ordered like 40 years ago, right? So not only do they have massive marketing, they have a product that's a standalone product. So Jimmy can tell you that's you can't just do something with a company that doesn't have a product that you can stand behind and go. So why don't you talk about your faith and how you've implemented that in your business, and then you know, kind of segue that into about, you know, we'll combine these two, about how important your health is to you. So when Jimmy brought up blessing, I want to share this before we go on. When he talked about wrestling, I used to watch him at the mastermind we were at, like, wrestle on the floor, like right in front of me. And I'm like, I'm the guy praying, hoping like they don't break each other's legs, or, you know, like, and then they'd both get up, and they would have all these rug burns on their leg. like, and then it's like the first hour or two we've been at the event, they're just like, all right, let's go. And they just get after it. Right. And so Jimmy's he's a humble guy because he's really a great athlete. When we were at that mastermind, I'm going to boast on him. Even though there was about 30 of us that worked out with the Navy SEALs, and Jimmy and it was first every day. I'm guessing every day he was the 2 days that we worked out. But me at 50 years old, I was in the top five every single day. And I felt good about that. Like everybody there was pretty much under between 30 and 25. There was one other person, Chris, and then Yost, who was the Navy SEAL. And I just said, I've been working hard enough. I'm going to kick butt. But I would always, I saw Chase Maher and Jimmy, they battled each other. And so when you're in business, finding people and watching how people take a sport, because I think some of the greatest entrepreneurs are people who implemented things they learned in sports and their faith. And then like Steve Smith, right? Like taking mm-hmm. sports and his faith and then using it to expand the kingdom and helping people really see who they are. So why don't you share some of those things that God puts on your heart to share with the people listening? Maybe there's somebody out there that's continued, because I'm already inspired by you just knowing what you're mm-hmm. doing now and being encouraged, but share a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the wrestling thing. It's a similar trait. You mentioned Alex Charfin. Like, he talks about one of the entrepreneur personality traits is, can you turn it off? And it relates to a lot of the things that, you know, just being passionate, whatever an entrepreneur is passionate about, they really just can't turn off. I woke up at 2:30 a.m. last night and to dreams of me like thinking about the business. It's maybe not healthy, but it's like obsessed is how we like to be. So like when it comes to wrestling, you meet another wrestler at an event, and the guy who's running the event says, yeah, you guys can go for it if you want. We went for it. But
him and Julio, I think it was Julio, right?
Yeah. Julio. Yeah. So, importance of faith in my life. So, I think that the higher you climb, the more you have to rely on that. Like, I know for me, like the more things are happening in the business, the more things are changing, the more pressure, the more stress that we're under, the more I have to, you know, rely on that faith. Like picking routines and picking times of the day that you can dedicate towards focusing on that alone. Like usually the drive to the office that, praying the Our Father, praying for three other people, which is something I've been doing for the past 6 months or so. And like, honestly, before that, I didn't really like pray for other people. It's just something I'd had a hard time doing. So praying for at least three other people, three things that you're grateful for, and then, you know, and then leave the rest for whatever else you want to, you know, talk to God about. Right. And usually that is something along the lines of like, use me for something big today, like give me courage, like, you know, prepare me for, you know, for massive, you know, like just like showing the world what we're capable of. Right. And it's usually something along those lines. So, and having that centeredness, if you were just to go through life coasting and just reacting to these worldly circumstances, it would eventually get the best of you, you know? So that's something that is vital to my everyday. And something I'm not always perfect about. Sometimes Morgan will give me a call, and I'll take the call on the way into the office and things like that can come up. But that's something that's really been vital for us. And what's really neat is a lot of the principles that, you know, my faith, requires me to follow, or advises me to follow, it really does help a lot with business in the long term. Like, 100%. You know, people know I'm really young, 26 years old, but again, dropping out of college, really and gave me a bit of a head start with a lot of people in business. So I've been developing a lot of these relationships. People have been seeing me become who I am today as a business person now for a pretty long time. And instead of going to college, you know, classes, I was going to B&I meetings and random things like that and business after hours and
love it.
And just, you know, passing out thousands of business cards and developing relationships. So, the combination of that, this hardcore work ethic along with the Christian principles, you combine those two things. And it's explosive. It's very simple, but explosive. So, that was huge for me.
Would you say, hey, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Would you say that you have been more intentional in this season of your life now with that than you ever have been before?
Yes. Yeah. And it's out of necessity in some ways, right? Because if you stray away from it, like if you stray away from like one day, you know, you miss that, you know, prayer routine for one day, or whatever it is you're doing to focus on God. So then you're going to notice yourself, but you do it enough days in a row, other people start to notice. And yeah, the more you grow as a leader, the more of a necessity that becomes.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, it's funny because I was talking to my for those of you listening, if this is your first HeFluence podcast, my wife and I just got up and moved away from Tampa Bay, Clearwater area, Florida, to over to the Orlando Groveland area just after 27 years. Now, I get a little goosebumps when I talk about it because I shared, and Jimmy's probably maybe hearing this for the first time, is that, you know, I realized a lot about my faith and about my wife and about who my wife was called to be and my calling in ministry. And really, to be honest with you, our businesses, if we are in the center of God's will, it's our ministry. Like for me, HeFluence is my ministry. There's no doubt that Give and Grow is Jimmy's ministry. I'm getting ordained into the ministry, but from a marketplace ministry perspective, we have people that are called to the pulpit. We have people that are called to people like your friend that's called with Steve Smith and the Samaritan's Purse, those type of things, and full-fledged, full-time ministry. Then we are called to the marketplace. We're called to the marketplace ministry. And so you heard Jimmy talk about his health. So Jimmy, why don't you talk about your health, like your regimen? Obviously you're pretty intentional about a lot of things you do. So why don't you talk about your health and things that you're doing? And it's kind of funny. It's just a flow of this. Like if I'm intentional about my business and I'm intentional about my faith and then about my business, where does my health fall in line with that? Cause if I'm not healthy, mm-hmm. I'm not doing those other two things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Actually, our friend Nicholas is the one who really got me back on track. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who the healthiest time they've ever been was when they were in high school playing sports. They were on a team. They had to compete, so that held them accountable. And then when I graduated, and again, I went straight into like doing business type stuff, and that became my new sport, which required zero athletic ability, zero working out. So, and when I get out of shape, I just get extremely skinny, and some people envy that, but like, at least when you got some like, you know, fat on your arms, people aren't sure if it's muscle or what, but I just look so skinny. Yep. And there's actually a funny before and after picture, but, you know, Nicholas was one of the first people that made the point of when you walk into a room, and you are looking and you look healthy, people are going to respect what you have to say more, and they're going to pay more attention to you more. You're going to stand out more. And that's actually the very first, that's how he sold me on prioritizing getting in shape. This is like 4 years ago now. And, at first it was just because he said he's going to make more money. And at the time, that's really what I wanted more of. Right. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll get in shape. And we did like a 14-day six pack ab challenge. I actually had a really cool, transformation that came from that. And then 6 months later, I'm in good shape. You know, I got abs bulging out and from going from like just looking so pathetic and skinny. So, ever since it's been one of those things that I've had to monitor because, back when I was in that medical company, the startup, I had a partner at that company and, actually you and I are both friends with JC Garrick. So, JC was our coach and we did a thing where JC would do one-on-one with me every month. He would do one-on-one with Justin and then we would do a group. And he would be like a mediator and we would give each other feedback. And one of the things that Justin gave me feedback on is he said that there are days when like Jimmy's an enjoyable guy to be around, but there's like maybe every once in a while, every few days or so, like everyone in the room is like walking on thin ice. He's agitated about something. Something is not right. And you just got to be really careful about his temperament. And when he said that, I knew exactly what he was talking about, but no one had ever given me that feedback before. And it really held me accountable to start monitoring what are the things that are putting me in those moods. And one of them I realized is if I'm ever in a state, and this goes back to, you know, Alex Charfin, it's cool that his name keeps coming up, but he talks about needing to constantly be in a state of momentum. Yes. And for me, that's in a state of momentum, whether it's spiritually growing myself, financially growing myself, and physically growing myself. And if I ever feel like there's any stagnancy or any going backwards in one of those areas, I know that's something that's gonna set me off. And it's how I was created, and that's okay. And what's really good actually is it forced me. You mentioned me being intentional. It has forced me to be very intentional. It's very black and white. I'm either not a good, fun person to be around, or I'm completely in a really good place. And there's really not a lot in between. And I know there's a lot of people in the world who are like that, who shared that commonality with me. And what's so cool about those people is obviously there's people who are super steady. Like they can go through life working, doing the same exact thing, everything, every single day, and not even question whether it has anything to do with like why we were put on earth.
That's Nicholas, but, Jimmy, that's Nicholas.
Yeah.
That you and I are steady not guy. Like that. That's Nicholas. Nicholas is like this, and you and pretty I are steady, either yeah. up here or down here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what's so cool though, is that and obviously these guys who are up here, like as long as you're up here, and Alex Charfin talked about this, he said, you know, the people that are down here and haven't figured out that momentum state, that's when they get diagnosed, something's wrong with them. But then the people up here are like pure genius. They're celebrated. Right. And, yes. and they're employing usually like the people who are steady and stuff. But again, those people are so necessary. So, anyways, how that correlates back to health is just that's one of the things that I realized, like I have to check that box or else, and it's a horrible ripple effect too, of if I'm not doing the health part, then I'm not going to be able to do the growing financial part correctly. I'm not going to be able to do the growing spirit. I'm not going to have the energy to do that either. So having those consistent habits, there's a lot of books about that, Atomic Habits or Miracle Morning, to like get people on track. But even like not just focusing on what you do in the morning, but what do you do in the night before to set you up for an awesome morning, picking out the gym clothes the night before, and all that stuff, and having breakfast ready to go for the next morning potentially. And then you wake up, you smile immediately. I remember one day, this was like 5 years ago, I woke up, the alarm went off, and I was like, I said some bad words. I was like, oh God, you know, like I was like pissed that I had to wake up. And then immediately, like right after I did that, I was like, wait, that's probably a really bad way to start my day. 100%. And ever since then, I've done a pretty good job of, as soon as I wake up, like doing this, the most awkward, like forcing this big smile on my face, and my face isn't like awake yet, so it looks funny, but like I'll just smile immediately and like to like thank you, I'll do that, you know, jump out of bed, brush my teeth type of thing, and so and to get me on the right path through the day. And so awesome. Again, back to that intentionality, back to the health part, it all kind of cycles.
Well, that's pretty funny, because I remember that face, like when we were in Utah and you came out and you're like, I'm still half awake, like it's early, and of course we're in, Jimmy and I are on the East Coast, so being on the West Coast, it's like the time change kind of stinks, you know. And then getting adjusted, like I'm leaving tomorrow, go out to the West Coast, and I'll be in different time zones. I'll be in, you know, West Coast time zone, and then Mountain time zone, and then back to West Coast, and then back to, you know, back to this. And so I think the availability to be intentional about things we do allows us to see ourselves as God sees us. Because I think about it like this. God says to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Well, to most people, I don't think they really understand what a living sacrifice is. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times we have that thought process that we are doing that, but we're really not. So this next question, Jimmy, talk about this, and then I've got to make sure I plug in my charger for that. You guys aren't watching, my computer's kind of reached down here and charged it, but I'm gonna let Jimmy answer this question. Jimmy, you talked about relationships and building relationships and how important that is. Why don't you, maybe there's some guys listening today that are really struggling with building some relationships, some deep quality, long lasting relationships, because, and the reason I say that is because when I was doing this not too long ago, I did a Bible study where I found out that 1 in 20 men actually have a best friend or an accountability partner. And so why don't you talk about what that means, like to build some relationships, and talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, the way that you and I even know each other, it started with me coming across an article on, I think it was on Facebook, and seeing some people who were on a, like a 30 under 30, like 30 under 30 entrepreneurs list. And that's how I came across Nicholas. And I was like, you know what? That's who I want to be friends with. I want to be friends with, like, that's my tribe. And so I basically connected with every single person who was on that list on Facebook and LinkedIn. And, you know, Nicholas did the best job of creating a funnel for me to just fall into, because I was a prime candidate for any one of those people to throw me in one of their funnels. Yes. And he had like that again, that free 14-day six pack challenge or whatever. And what's cool though is the reason that I was able to build a relationship with someone like Nicholas is, I solved an issue that, you know, keeps him up at night to some degree. Like, the best thing that could have happened that I could have done to help him wasn't an introduction, it was take his 14-day six pack challenge seriously, right? And for other people, it's like, figuring out what is the thing that they need help with. And you have the resources to solve that. And it's so cool being able to, like, eventually that I went into his mastermind. It was a big reach for me at the time. Cause again, I didn't have my own business. It came from a really small town, Waynesboro, Virginia, and I just wasn't surrounded by other people who did masterminds and stuff like that. I remember it was my first time even flying to the West Coast. And joined a mastermind with 7-figure entrepreneurs, and then a year later being voted as the most valuable person in that mastermind.
Yeah.
Was such a cool feeling at the time. And I think a big part of how that happened was I was this guy who didn't have his own business, didn't have this and that, but I made sure that each person in that community, I reached out to them, and I knew that something that a lot of them needed help with was LinkedIn. No one else like in that mastermind had really cracked that code. And that's something that I could help them with. So we set up one-on-one calls, and I just knew that it would go somewhere. I didn't really know what the ROI was going to be, but I knew that it would go somewhere. And I started just doing one-on-one calls and helping them generate leads on LinkedIn. That was what I had in my bag of tricks. But everyone has something, and sometimes it's connections and sometimes it's this and that. But like finding out what is it that you can help these people with, and just coming from a place of giving, and you know, again, having faith that you do your part and God will do the rest. So I think giving comes from a big piece of that, and not being so worried about what the ROI is going to be in some cases. And it's funny how those things have so many times come back around to help us out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think this kind of leads, that's great. That's how God kind of leads these things. And for those of you listening, if you have not went back and listened to some of the podcasts, even I've told our guests and the fruit that's come from just our guests going back and listening to some of the previous podcasts, especially since we just started, the impact has been amazing. Like radically changed lives from just listening to one session or listening to all of them. My friend Mark Donegan was on with me last a week and a half ago, and we were talking about that, how the impact of making one decision of surrounding yourself around different people that maybe you didn't think you were supposed to be in there, or maybe you just went there with a different expectation. I was telling Jimmy, I was just up in South Carolina with now somebody who's became one of my best friends, and we're doing business together. We're going to do a mastermind together. We're going to do a lot of things. And I've said this before, you know, people look at my last year when I had somebody steal close to $300,000 from me in business. They said, well, how did you handle that? And I said, I just handled it with love and grace and understanding and growing. I learned from it. And I said, look, my destiny and my identity is not going to be tied to my past. It's only going to be tied to becoming who God, as Jimmy said at the end of his LinkedIn vision for 2020, as it becoming who God called me to be. And we can all grow in that. So why don't you share something about that, like what it means to be accountable? Because my biggest piece for me And Jimmy, I'm just going to tell you this. This is what has been my prayer about for every person that I have on. Because I had some really amazing. I had Nicholas on, and I've had a lot of just amazing people on. I've got a massive list of people coming and people that I've met, and I just prayed and God just brought them in. As you know, that happens. The law of the environment by John Maxwell, right? He says, if you put yourself in an environment that's healthy and growing, you're going to meet the right people, and God's going to keep the people that out that aren't supposed to be in, right? And that's my biggest growth. So when you think of that word, accountable, Nicholas said that accountable to him is holding people accountable for their abilities, okay? So when Jimmy Coleman thinks of accountability, what does that go through your mind and share with people listening today what that means to you?
Yeah, I think Nicholas creating a definition out of it in some ways is probably a good move. Like, you know, people talk that your responsibility is your response to your ability. If you can, then you pretty much have to. And I really like that a lot. But when I do think of accountability, like the very first thing that does come into my mind is basically it's the very fundamental principle of, you know, the five people you surround yourself with and you're becoming the average of that. And the reality is, though, like that is, it is the most proven thing. Like if that's the only thing that someone did was just up their circle of influence, then all the other business advice, all the other advice that we could give people, it is almost obsolete. It's like, if you can only pick one piece of advice to usually give people, like that's like the one thing that is so valuable. And it's, I've tried keeping track of like, why is that the case? Like, if I ever can like be sitting in that room, in that environment of these people who are doing big things, whether they're people that I look up to spiritually in business or maybe health or whatever. And like, can I catch myself being inspired by them and raising my level of expectations? And it was funny last week, you might've saw this, Michael, I was eating dinner with a guy who has the largest Christian ministry in Pakistan. Millions of people.
I read it all. It's awesome.
His events. Yeah. So crazy. I don't know of anyone in the world who actually has over a million people who show up in person to hear them speak. And so it was like looking at a saint. And, what's so funny is the guy that got me at that dinner with at the table, he pointed at me and said that, you know, I have big pockets or something like that, and that I might be able to help fund the ministry. And I just laughed it off. That's like I do, you know, I just kind of joked around. But you know, at that moment I was like, oh my gosh, I better step up my game. I better be going next level so that I can help people like this at that level. That's a whole nother level to make 100%. A dent in that guy's pocket. You know, that's a whole nother level to try to be operating in. And so, yeah, right away, I immediately up my level of expectation, like right in that moment, but it is so cool. And if you have to pay to play, like it's worth it. I had to pay to play to get in that circle. This is going to sound a little crazy, but when I started raising my standard for the circles of people that I was being put in and being more intentional about that, the most inspiring part was the closer I got to these people, the more I realized that they're just like me and that they have flaws too, that they're vulnerable people too, that they are not like, they don't have it all figured out. And the only difference is oftentimes it wasn't that they had more ability. It was usually just that they were willing to risk failure, you know, more than I was. Cause you know, and where you come from, like again, small town, usually small towns have a reputation of having a lot of really nice people. And that's definitely the case where I come from. But there also is a culture of you try to do big things, then you're doing it for your ego or something like that, or it's really kind of frowned upon in some ways. And so, you know, getting around people that help me get rid of that, and actually see it the opposite way, see it as almost sinful to not become that person, right? So as long as you're doing with the right intentions, and accountability has everything to do with all that. Yeah, that circle that you're in, the circle that I'm in would not allow me to slip. Spiritually, they would not allow me to do that. They're definitely holding me accountable in that way. They're holding me accountable to crush it financially and to grow my business. And then also, physically, I have a lot of good looking friends and I don't want to be the chubby guy in the group or the skin and bones guy in the group either. So naturally that has an effect too.
Awesome. So before I go on to the next question, I want to say something really quick. When you're looking at that, and maybe a lot of people have came back and said this after going back and re-listening to our interview, and several of my friends said, hey, I did a self-examination after being on your podcast and listening to the questions you asked me, and went back and tried to examine my own heart and kind of see where I was at. And one of my friends, Justin, was on, and he did the same thing. And so when you think about that, you said you're the sum of five people. What kind of some criterias do you look at when you're looking at, because look, even though Jesus had 12, Jimmy, he only had three that he told everything to. Like, he only had Peter, James, and John. Like, when he went up the mountain of transfiguration, and they saw miracles, and they got all nervous. And when they were walking down the hill, he said to the three of them, don't tell anybody what you just saw until I've come back. Right. And so when you think about that, what sources and what does God show you when you're looking for people to surround yourself and to hold you accountable? What do you do?
I think at this point, I'm definitely at a stage where I've naturally built a filter where, whether I feel good about being around the person that I'm talking to or engaging with. And I think the things that might be contributing to whether or not I'm increasing energy from being around this person or decreasing energy. I'm always very much so paying attention to my energy. My buddy Justin always jokes around about how we used to do like networking meetings together, and there's just certain people that, you know, took energy there. And he like almost, you could almost visibly see the moment that I like checked out of some of those conversations. And my mind just like, you know, went somewhere else. But I'm definitely like at all times monitoring whether this is increasing my level of energy or decreasing it. And usually that person is increasing my level of energy if they're just serious about becoming their best versions of themselves, even if they're not perfect people. But like they're trying, they're making effort. Like the people I really enjoy being around or have already made it, maybe financially, spiritually, and all those things. And they're still, applying the methods that got them there. And it's even if someone is like at the beginning stages, but they're so hungry about becoming the best version of themselves, I'm energized by those people. So it's not even really relative to where they're at in their journey. It's just whether or not they're, you know, putting pressure on the gas pedal to growing themselves in the three areas is this person like trying to grow themselves spiritually every day? Are they trying to be the best provider they can be? Are they like taking care of their health? Or are they making excuses for their health? I always pay attention to those things. And so, I would say that's the criteria I usually look at.
That's awesome. And it's really funny. I was looking back to some of the things when we did those workouts. I've been really pushing myself to, because I told Jimmy this when we did these workouts up in the mountains with the Navy SEAL. I said, Jimmy, back when I was your age, I would have kicked your butt. And of course there was a little, and he laughed and we laughed, but there was a difference. Like, Jimmy went right into business after high school and college, right? And then quit college. I went and competed, you know, amateurly and qualified for Olympic trials and did those type of things, right? Like, I mean, I could run anywhere from the 100 meters to the 800 meter and compete internationally and competitively with at any of those races, right? And so for me, for the white guy that was pretty fast and could jump high, you know, like we were just laughing the other day, when I was one of the few white guys to ever jump 7 feet at my college, right? And nowadays it's kind of funny. There's those phases of when people you see people not doing those things that you did, and you said, well, man, people are now. I had a kid that I was training, Jimmy, that just went to the NFL combine, and he got hit in the eye by the ball shooting out of the machine. Wow. And literally went on and caught the next pass. And you know, 9 out of 10 people that got hit by that ball and broke their eye socket would have went down on the ground and grabbed their eye, right? It got hit, and then he went on and caught the next pass. And I said, that's perseverance. That's a mindset. That's you saying, and he was totally discouraged because it ruined his whole entire camp. But I said, look, God's opening other doors for you. So I'm pretty excited about that for him. So Jimmy, let's finish up with this. So we've been talking about LinkedIn a little bit. I've learned, I'm just going to say this. If those of you don't know, Microsoft bought LinkedIn a couple years ago, and it's radically changed. And I think that it's going to compete with some of the other platforms, including Facebook and those Instagram and those other things. Why? Because people are looking to connect with people that are like-minded, like Jimmy said, like the target audience of the people, right? Like Jesse with authors and people who are looking to write books and those type of things and those type of things. So why don't you talk a little bit about that and then we'll let people know where they can connect with you and learn about what you do. Because if you're listening today and you don't know beans about LinkedIn, it's time for you to figure that out because the platform is massive. And I've been teaching some of my coaching clients everything that I've learned from Jimmy. Like I literally, he doesn't know this, he's about to hear this. About every other month, I go back and listen to some of the modules that he shared with me and showed me how to do that. And why? Because it's just like I do with my health. Like I prep my meals, I prep my wife's meals, I'm getting ready to go away. You know, I want to do things so that people that are important to me in my life can grow and excel. So why don't you share a couple things maybe about that? And then let's talk about, let people know where they can connect with you. If there's somebody listening today and they want to learn more about LinkedIn, or they want you to your company to do what you do. So why don't you share with that, and we'll finish up with that.
Yeah, a couple of just super easy things people can do on LinkedIn. One of them is to just do a series of engagements with the people that you're talking to. Like LinkedIn is the best platform for you to connect with people that you don't know, but you'd like to know. You can have 30,000 connections on LinkedIn. Facebook, you can have like 5,000 friends. So it's implied that you are going to be connecting with people you don't know that you'd like to know. And be very specific with who it is that you're connecting with. If you want to, you can make sure your entire network is only C-level executives at companies with over 10,000 employees. Like you can actually make that the case on LinkedIn. So, which is ridiculous. Facebook is like the Honda Civic from year 2000, and LinkedIn is the McLaren. So it is a luxury social media platform when it comes to your ability to market high-end things to other businesses and professionals. So be very specific with who you're connecting with. The second thing is, I mentioned this already, be strategic in how you're warming these people up to having conversations with you. Before you send them a message, like you can go on their profile, see their post history, comment on a couple of their posts, like a couple of their posts a few times, build some level of intrigue where they've seen your face show up a few times before you do some kind of outreach. And the third part is when you do outreach, don't just try to create the best copywriting in the world. Definitely don't send people three paragraphs where you're going to either make them feel obligated to read that, or they just would rather ignore you. I actually suggest, first off, keeping it very short. And if you want to change it up a little bit, do an audio message. Do like a 15-second audio message so they know that it's actually you and not your bot that sent the message. And that'll help you stand out that much more. But guys, there's people, I have clients who are doing seven-figure deals. Like most of my clients I work with are selling things where their average client is worth six or seven figures to them. And so like, can that work for your industry? Absolutely. Like that's the toughest group of people to sell to, and they're doing it over social media.
And I've got one question before we finish up and let people know how they can reach out to you. Like, did you guys hear what he just said? Like, to be honest with you, I'm, and I've said this with my wife, you know, now that we have went through this financial stuff and we've came out of it, we sold our house and did some other things and got some other things happening. Like I told Jimmy this the day we walked I took some really cool pictures of him walking by himself and us just talking and like it was cool because we had to walk everywhere. We did take an Uber some places. We met this really awesome guy in this house that we rented. Like he took us places. He's like, hey, can I do anything for you guys? And he took us to the store and then he took us to the mansion. It was like, we didn't have to get an Uber, right? We had the guy that we rented this place from, and it was an awesome place. It was this 3-bedroom place and it was just me and Jimmy, and we had full kitchen, and we had like, we just had time to talk and learn. And so I have one question about LinkedIn. How wise is it to do the business part of LinkedIn, to like upgrade to a business page? Can you share with a little bit about that? Cause I'm curious.
Yeah, I get that question a lot. And the simple answer is don't do it until LinkedIn tells you that you've maxed out the free version. Because what will happen is you're going to be hustling so hard on the free version, and then they're going to say, whoa, you have exceeded your commercial use limit is what they say. And that's a good sign that you're actually using it enough to justify upgrading it. I like using Sales Navigator, by the way. There's a few different versions. I like using Sales Navigator because the main benefit of it is that you can be, again, more specific about who you're targeting. You can make sure that you're targeting people based off of their seniority level, the number of employees that they have in their company, people that are within 10 miles of a certain zip code. You can just be much more narrow in who you're connecting with. So I would just wait until they've cut you off from the free version because you've hustled so hard on that version.
Cool. So that gives me some faith. So it's my time to do that. So I'm super excited to that. So it's my time to do that. And so, Jimmy, why don't you tell people where they can connect with you and how they can connect with you and what that looks like. And if somebody hears this and says, hey, I want to hire Jimmy, or I want to at least jump on the phone with him, because here's one of the things I like about Jimmy. Even though he has a team of people working for him, he wants to build those relationships with people. He wants to know what people are like. I've been reading his stories of people who are working with him, and because we're mutual, Jimmy and I have a lot of mutual friends, and these people are really just boasting on the results that they're getting from him. And I'd be honest with you, I'm excited to see what that looks like and to grow, because I'm actually stepping into who God called me to be. So Jimmy, talk about that, where people can, and then send us off with that.
Yeah. The site that I would check out is actually called leadballer.com. So our done for you service, we use a system that we've kind of coined, and it's leadballer.com. So I like lead that. And then baller. And you'll get it when you watch the video on why we call it lead baller. We organize it like a baseball field. And the members of our communities are ballers. So that's kind of fun. And then obviously you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Jimmy Coleman should be somewhere near the top of the list if you search that name. I'm always making room on LinkedIn, always making room on Facebook. So if you want to try for that as well, that'd be totally fine.
Awesome. And so say it one more time, give us just one more time so they can hear you again. Lead baller.
Yeah. Lead baller, LEAD baller. So, lead baller.
Wish I was a little bit taller. That's an old song. You know,
our tagline is, ball so hard leads want to find me. That's on the website. Yeah.
I love it. Well, that's awesome. And so guys, thank you so much for listening today. And before Jimmy goes, I just want to say this, we are recording and then we'll stop the recording and I'll get to say goodbye to him. But here's one of the really cool things about the connections that we have. These become long lasting relationships. And so today I want to thank my guest, Jimmy Coleman, for being on today. And if you're listening, I hope that this has inspired you, because it's amazing how inspired I've been. Love people and live with passion. Thanks again. Until the next session of the HeFluence podcast. God bless. Have a great day. Bye-bye.